minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Got a big Thursday show lined up for you today. We're going to have CU Buffs head coach Tad Boyle after that monster win. Oh, wow, yeah. Susan Cheryl seemed to be excited about that. They like Tad Boyle. Also, the David Roddy Show after the 1 o'clock hour. So, what are Susan, Sarah, you Buffs fans? Oh, there we go. There we go. I was going to say, you just a Buff fan? You're Rams fan, too? Cool. Okay. Boy, I was looking at this, and I was listening to the interview on with Clark and the coach. Love that program. I love what those guys are doing. But they had Kevin Lytle on the program talking about the ticket sales. Look at this, dude. Have you seen this? What the cost is, the resale here? At the Coloradoan, they have $5,000? Look at this. The cheapest ticket available on StubHub on Wednesday morning was 100 at one point. It was 100 bucks a pop, excuse me. But however, at one point, according to Kevin, the highest price was $5,000. $5,000. There's two listings that are for $5,000, and they're not close to courtside. This is cool, man. This is really awesome. For the Rams to be growing like this, for Moby Arena to be growing like this, Coach Nico Medved, I just saw he tweeted it out. And he's like, hey, much love. This makes me smile. Huge thanks to everyone who supports this great group of young men. Go CSU men's basketball. Hashtag team together. It's a basketball school. Is it like officially a basketball school? So something cool, I'm going to bring on another fan, a diehard fan of CSU basketball, Red Cup CSU. So we brought in the Outlaws of Moby a couple weeks ago. So we're getting a fan. This is from a different perspective. This fan's a senior. Kind of want to talk about, he's just going to talk about the growth of the fan base. So I think this is kind of cool, inner workings. I mean, we're always talking to players and coaches, but there's something going on at Moby Arena, folks. It's becoming a magical environment. And when you get students that, I mean, getting a little fame, you know, the Outlaws of Moby, getting a little fame, that makes the fan base really want to grow. Because you're like, wow, we could be like those guys. I actually think they're coming out to our draft, or our draft, basketball special at the GOAT on Monday, March 14th. Yeah, another reason to come out to the GOAT. They're going to make the trip from Fort Collins to Greeley. We're going to be out there March 14th, 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, a special show for you. We're going to do all things college hoops, all things bracket, March Madness, specifically focusing on kind of the local teams that are going to be in, which maybe is just going to be CSU and UNC. I don't know if Wyoming's getting in now, which is our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Are the Wyoming Cowboys going to go dancing? Yes or no? After another loss last night, Wyoming's going the wrong way. Is that three in a row for them? That's a tough spot for them to be in. Now they got Fresno State, their final game of the season, and they are limping in. That's two in a row, sorry. That's three out of their last, they've lost three out of their last four, though. They did beat Nevada 74-61, but they lose to UNLV. They lose to San Diego State, and now they have Fresno State. CSU's in a good spot here. They beat Boise State. They will finish in the top. They'll finish at number two. Boise State's already got the regular season title. But the Rams now looking like they're going to lock up that number two spot. We're going to talk all things Mountain West and CSU basketball. Later today, we've got our college hoops tip-off with the Coloradoans, Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire. So we're very excited about that one. Jades, let's get to the big story. I got the big story of the day. Let's get to it. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. All right. The NFL and the NFL Players Association have suspended all league-wide COVID-19 protocols effective immediately. pausing 2 years of largely successful efforts to play through the pandemic. Teams received a memo Thursday morning detailing the decision, which was based on current encouraging trends regarding the prevalence and severity of the coronavirus. This is Kevin Seifert of ESPN that put that article together. So it looks like that's that. It was like a week ago our big story was that they were going to put on these like crazy restrictions at the combine, right? They were going to, you know, players weren't going to be able to get close to each other. They're going to have all these different protocols. And of course, the players fought back and they did away with that. What a difference a week makes, I guess. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. What the hell happened last night? The Oklahoma City Thunder beat Denver 119-107. How is that possible? That stopped a 6-game winning streak for Denver. And you lose to one of the worst teams. And not even that, not even just that. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They were shorthanded. Can you even name any of those guys on the roster for OKC? Seriously, I don't recognize any of them. I mean, I don't follow the Thunder closely at all. But even their good players, the ones that they had, you know, were out. They were depleted. And you lost 119-107. Is anybody out there going to help out Nikola Jokic? I mean, it wasn't a particularly great game for him. He had 6 turnovers, 22 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists. But where was everybody else? Will Barton had a whopping 6 points. He shot 9 three-pointers. He needed 2 three-pointers to break the record. He needed 1 to tie it, to break the Nuggets' most three-pointers made. He leads the Nuggets. He is the leader in three-point attempts. He's already got that record. So efficiency is not going to be up there for him. He just needed 1 to tie the record last night, and he went 0 for 9. He was 1 for 10 overall. Barton giveth and Barton taketh away. I mean, this is how he is, and you know, fans do get tired of it. He hasn't really been a part of this team when they've been in the playoffs, the last couple of seasons. You're going to need better from him once you get in. He's just not good. He did not look good. He has moments where he does crazy good things, and you go, all right, that's why the Nuggets signed him to a longer-term deal. But then he has games like that. And again, that was an awful game. He's not typically going to put that game out, but, I mean, Will Barton has kind of just been a survivor on the Nuggets roster. I'm not putting the loss on him. That's a terrible stat line, though. I mean, nobody was hitting shots. Monte Morris was 2 of 9. I mean, Gordon was 4 of 12. Those bad numbers. Terrible. Bryn Forbes was good. He had 18 points. He was the only other. He and Bones Highland were the only other Nuggets to get out of the single digits in scoring, and that was off the bench. Starters were nowhere to be seen, save for the MVP. Is that something you're worried about? I don't know. I think you're coasting at this point. You know, they were rolling. It was a 7-game win streak? It was 6. They had won like 8 out of their last 9 games, though. So they were rolling. They had the 1 loss to Boston on February 11th. Outside of that, they've been winning. February was a great month for them. And I think they only lost like 4 games in the month of February. So that was huge, and that allowed them to make a push. Cannot lose to teams like the Thunder, though. You just can't. Got to bounce back on Friday, going up against Houston. So this is supposed to be some of the easy stretches here. You know, you should have been able to win that game last night. Not sure what happened. It was just a bad game overall. But you got some teams coming up now that you certainly should beat. Houston's one of the worst teams in the league. They're 15 wins. And then you have the New Orleans Pelicans. Got to win both of those games coming up. Because then you have Golden State on Monday. You have Golden State twice in three games. You got them on Monday, March 7th, and then Thursday, March 10th. Got to be better than that. Yeah, the Will Barton thing is crazy. Absolutely crazy. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. I have some, speaking of the Nuggets, I have some tickets to give away for tomorrow night. Nuggets, Rockets tomorrow night. Friday night hoops. Yeah, there you go. I'm going to go caller number four on the First Advantage hotline. Caller number four, I need your email address. That way we can send it through Ticketmaster. But caller number four, 970-353-1310. Caller four, you're going to get yourself a pair of tickets to go see the Denver Nuggets take on the Houston Rockets. 17 minutes after 12 o'clock. Don't forget, we're going to have Tad Boyle on, CU men's basketball coach, at the bottom of the hour. Should be a great chat with Coach. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Bears basketball and the voice of the Bears. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Coach McCaffrey, your UNC head football coach, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-one minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back in. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to the GOAT, located near Center Place of Greeley. That sports bar is something else. Jades, I know you were out there on Tuesday for the final UNC coaches show, and that place was bumping. Great place, great spot. I love it. We're going to be live and on location from the GOAT March 14th. I'm going to be doing the show, an extra show, 5 to 6 o'clock. As we talk all things March Madness, that's going to be March 14th, I want you coming out there. Here's the deal. If you're in our bracket challenge, print it off, bring it out, show us, and you're going to get a spin the wheel of destiny. And you're going to win some cool prizes. I know we're going to have Nuggets tickets on there. We're going to have GOAT merchandise, GOAT memorabilia, and all that stuff, too. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll be talking basketball. So mark your calendars, March 14th, come out to the GOAT, 5 o'clock. It'll be the day after Selection Sunday, so we'll start working on our brackets and all that jazz. It's going to be a great time. They got tons of TVs, 36 HD TVs, where you can watch your favorite teams play. And, yep, they have altitude, so you can watch the best team in the world, the best hockey team in the world, in the Colorado Avalanche. And the Nuggets, they're pretty good. It's hard to build them up today after losing to the Thunder, man. I mean, I think they're going to be all right. I think they're going to hold on to that sixth spot, still maybe move up. But, yeah, it's a tough look last night for the Nuggets. So check them out. You guys can watch all the March Madness that you can handle at the GOAT. I mean, that's perfect, isn't it? Call in sick, take the day off that Thursday, go to the GOAT, and you can watch all your favorite games. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I've been saying this for months now about the trades for the Broncos, about, you know, don't get crazy, don't move too many draft picks to try to get a guy like Rodgers or Wilson or Garoppolo, because I think that that's ammunition for George Payton. Those draft picks are like ammunition for him, and rightfully so. Look at this. You had Inside the League, Zach Stevens shared this on Twitter. Inside the League said that the Broncos had the best draft class last year. I didn't even know this was something that they rank, but that's what they said. They were awarded the 2021 best draft by Inside the League. That's George Payton's first draft, and he was awarded the best one. Look at it. I was looking this morning, I was doing a comparison between this draft and all of John Elway's. And it's, I mean, there is no comparison. Patrick Surtain and Javonte Williams, studs. Quinn Meinerz, Baron Browning, solid. Caden Stearns, solid, might be a guy they can utilize more so next year even. I mean, then you look just like the last three draft picks for Elway. Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Michael O.J. Moody, and Lloyd Cushenberry. Well, Cushenberry at center, I think he's been okay. Certainly room for improvement. Michael O.J. Moody, he was hurt, but he's moved up. He's moved around the depth chart. KJ Hamler got hurt early before the season began, and then Jerry Jeudy certainly not lived up to pick number 15. How about the year before that? Noah Fant, Dalton Risner, Drew Locke, Draymond Jones, Juwan Winfrey, Justin Hollins. Dalton Risner's maybe the only one that I think has lived up to, you know, second round type hype. He's been solid for Denver. Noah Fant, not playing like a first rounder. Drew Locke, obviously, is a backup type quarterback right now. Go back the year before that. Bradley Chubb, Cortland Sutton, Royce Freeman, Isaac Yiadom, Josie Jewell. I mean, Josie, he's pretty good. He's been good. Obviously, Chubb is a good player, but he's not a... So far, he is not even anywhere close to living up to the first round pick number 5. So bottom line is this. Give George Payton as many draft picks as possible, and they have 11 of them, so that he can turn out something like this. So far, his very first draft, you got a major outlet saying that they had the best draft class all year. It's a great draft class, man. No question about it. And some people are still mad at George Payton because he didn't take a quarterback. They just got voted on the best draft class, and you're still mad that they didn't get a quarterback. You got a franchise defensive back, probably a franchise running back, and then three other guys that are probably going to be capable of starting on the long term. Quinn Meinerz ended up, that's a guy you can move all over the place on the line. And then Baron Browning stepped up in a big way for Denver. So you got to be thrilled with what you're seeing with George Payton. This just furthers my belief, though, that you need to be able to have, if you have a guy that does it right, which George Payton does, you want to give him as many opportunities to draft great players that are going to be with you for a long time. He's building something here. I believe in George Payton, man. He's got some big decisions to make here with this quarterback situation, but so far everything else has been spot on. Do want to shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. For over 51 years now, OCR has been the specialist in the medicine of motion. With 6 medical campuses and providing care along the Front Range, OCR is proud to be now Greeley's hometown orthopedic group as well. Check them out online, orthohealth.com. That's orthohealth.com. 28 minutes after the hour, we got Tad Boyle coming up. All his team did was just knocked off the number 2 team in the country over the weekend, and we're going to be talking to Coach about that. And overall, I mean, just an exciting time for CU fans with this young group for the most part, and they're not done yet. There's some work to do, but we'll be excited to talk to Coach. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Northern Colorado's voice and your home for Preps football, basketball, and baseball is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Greeley.
Minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the Hull Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Colorado Buffaloes head coach Tad Boyle. Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time today, and congratulations on a huge win over the weekend against number 2 Arizona.
Brady, it's good to be with you.
It's always great to catch up with you, Coach. You got one more regular season game to go, but if we can go back a little bit, my goodness. I was listening to your coach's show, of course, with Mark Johnson the other day, and you were talking about what a contrast that was between the Arizona State game and then the Arizona game on Saturday. Talk about night and day difference, huh?
Oh, boy. Yeah, as bad as we were against Arizona State, and lifeless and energy, didn't have it, we were as good on Saturday. And it's just another reason why, you understand coaching young people, you don't always know what you're going to get. And, boy, it was the tale of two games and, one day turnaround. And quite frankly, after the Arizona State game, I asked myself if I wasn't sure we could win another game this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Arizona staring down the barrel. I mean, and then where you have to go to Utah, who's a team that we were lucky to beat at home, you know, a few weeks ago, and we got to go there, and then we got the conference tournament. I mean, it's you know, I always say it's hard to win games in college basketball in February. It's even harder in March.
Yeah.
And here we are in March. So every game's a battle.
What was it about that game, too? And again, even if you take the Arizona State game aside, that I mean, this is a miraculous victory. I mean, a huge deal. But what was it? I mean, you guys were able to flip that switch. And I know, obviously, Tristan Da Silva had a monster game. You speak so highly of that guy. And what was it collectively that got the dub?
One word, energy. Mm-hmm. We played with unbelievable energy. It started on the defensive end, which is where it has to start. And that's what we didn't have against Arizona State. Obviously, we made some shots against Arizona, which we didn't do against Arizona State. But the energy level from the get-go on defense was great. You know, we really struggled, you know, to score the first 4 or 5 minutes of the Arizona game. We didn't get our first bucket, I think, until like 5 minutes into the game. But you could just tell there was a difference on the other end of the floor. We were flying around and covering for each other and really making it difficult on Arizona. It was a physical game. The referees, boy, they let us play both sides, and it was a physical game. They've got some really good players, obviously. They're number two in the country for a reason. They're a legitimate team, but our guys showed great grit, great toughness, but it started with energy, Brady.
We're talking to Colorado Buffs head coach Tad Boyle. Well, you made a couple of changes too, Coach. Talk to us about that with the starting lineup. Julian Hammond gets the start. Talk to us a little bit about that decision and what went into that.
Yeah, just to shake things up a little bit. I just felt like, you know, after Thursday night's performance, and again, I'm not certainly not pointing the finger at any one player, but I just felt like our two guards, Keyshawn Bartholomew and KJ Simpson, who's been coming off the bench for us all year, just were not up to par. And Julian played good. He didn't play great against Arizona State, but he played good. And I just felt like I needed to shake things up and rattle some cages. And both Julian responded and Keyshawn responded, and KJ played really well coming off the bench too. So, you know, we're a young team. People forget about that. I always like to talk about that after wins. I hate to talk about it after losses because it sounds like an excuse, and it's not an excuse, but we've got one senior that's in the rotation. You know, Evan Batty is obviously starter. He's the heart and soul of our team and the leader. But after that, it's all freshmen and sophomores. So I knew this year was going to be some ups and some downs, and no lower down or no higher up than what we just experienced against Arizona State and Arizona.
Yeah, no question about it. And I look at this young group, Coach, and I'll be honest, at the beginning of the season, I didn't know what to expect from your crew. But here you are with 19 wins with this group, and you just mentioned that team leader with Evan Batty. You get that win on senior night. Evan is such a delight to listen to. He's talking to the crowd, and he says, I'm going to be back here. I'm going to be back here someday, and my goal is to be the head coach for the Colorado Buffaloes. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, you don't see too many seniors on senior night make that proclamation. And, you know, I'll tell you what, there was nothing would make me more happy and proud and fill my heart with joy than to see that happen someday. And obviously Evan's still going to play the game for a few more years, God willing, and his body holds up. But he's going to play professionally somewhere, someplace, and hopefully have a great experience there. And then when he wants to get into coaching, I told him, you know, if I'm still coaching, he's got a job on my staff at any time, and I'd love to see him be the head coach here at Colorado.
Wow. How cool of a story would that be, too? Like you said,
yeah.
You know, he's going to keep his career going for a little bit, but he's such a great guy, you know, and when you talk about Mark Johnson tells us this every week, when you talk about guys that you want to represent your school, your team, I mean, it doesn't get any better than Evan Batty.
Yeah, it doesn't. And he's like a student coach, you know. They use the term coach on the floor, but he's a coach in the locker room. He's a coach on the bus. He's a coach on the plane. He's a coach in the hotel rooms. He's like having a player coach out there because he's been around our program now. This is his fifth year. He can finish my sentences for me. Hmm. He knows what our scouting reports are all about. He's as dialed in and bought in as any player I've ever coached. And you just love to see guys like that have success, and he's a special one. They don't make them like him very often.
Well, and again, that's got to be so great, as you mentioned, with this young group. And you and I have talked about this before. We're in such a weird time with college sports, with, you know, the NIL stuff, the transfer portals, like the Wild Wild West every single day, it seems like. But having a leader like that that buys in, not just to what you're doing on the floor, but to the overall culture of the program, has to be such a luxury.
Yeah, it is. And again, another reason that makes Evan stand out and be so special, you know, this name, image, and likeness that you just mentioned, you know, he's actually turned down opportunities to make money off his name, image, and likeness. I mean, I don't know of any kids in America that do that. And he did it because, you know, he wants to be just a member of the team. He doesn't want to set himself apart. He's all about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey, and I've just got such respect for him, and you know, and it's going to come back to pay off tenfold for Evan. I've had CEOs of companies, you know, approach me and ask me that when he's done playing, if they'd love to hire him and have him be a part of their organization, because anytime Evan Batty's a part of your team, your team is better. And I think our fans recognize that. His teammates recognize that. The coaches, obviously, we've known that for years. But it's really a cool, cool thing.
Yeah, no question about it. We'll be watching out for him, too. What his career looks like, and what an opportunity that would be to come right back and learn from one of the best. I mean, that would be such a great story. Coach, are you shocked at all? And I know you're probably going to say no, but this is a young group, and you've said it. You know, hey, you're going to have those moments. Those Arizona State games are going to be interesting. But are you shocked at all looking at this team outside of that Arizona State game? I felt like you guys have been playing your best basketball.
Down the stretch, we have. Outside of that game, I think we've been really, you know, we went on a three-game road trip and won all three. But prior to Arizona State, we'd won five in a row. So we've been playing good basketball, so that's why that was a little bit of a head scratcher for me. But again, it's a learning opportunity for our young team, and they bounce back. The one thing, you know, this team has shown pretty much all year long is a high level of resilience after losses. We look forward to what challenges are ahead of us, and right now that's Utah on Saturday, and then season number three starts at the Pac-12 tournament. You know, you got the preseason, you got the Pac-12 season. Now we're going to have, after the Utah game on Saturday, we'll have the Pac-12 postseason, which is season number three.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that, too. I love the conference tournaments. I mean, I know March Madness and the NCAA tournament and all those are, rightfully so, we build them up. But, man, I just love watching you guys go back at it, as you said, season number three, after you've beat each other up all season, and then you got to go do it again in the Pac-12 tournament. And, Coach, like we said, you're at that point in the stretch where you're putting together some great basketball, one more game in the regular season to go, and we're looking forward to it. Some great Pac-12 teams. And you guys have moved up those standings, too, sitting at fourth, maybe fifth, maybe a chance to move up to fourth.
Yeah, if we take care of business on Saturday and Oregon loses a game, we will slide into that fourth spot. If not, we'll probably end up in the fifth spot. But I think we'll be in one of those two, and then you know, take it from there. So we've been there before, and it's you know, once you get into tournament play, it's all about surviving and advancing and living to see another day. So, but right now we've got Utah. We can't put the cart in front of the horse, and to get our 20th win of the regular season would be a huge accomplishment for this team and where we started and where we were picked. And we want to try to do everything we can to get that done.
Well, Coach, we wish you the best of luck. It's fun to watch this team. And, you know, looking at this young group, I think we're going to see some great stuff for the next few seasons. I don't know how you do it every single year. You just keep churning out these great players. You lose great players. You lose legendary players. And you're just kind of able to plug in these new guys, too, and with great leadership. So, again, Coach, good luck to you guys on Saturday and, of course, into the Pac-12 tournament.
Thank you, Brady. Appreciate you, and good to be with you.
All right, Coach. We'll talk to you soon. That's CU Buffs head basketball coach, Tad Boyle. Love what he has done with this Buffaloes team. This Buffalo team. Every single year. How does he do it? McKinley Wright was one of the best Buffs players ever. I mean, he was in that conversation, and you're wondering, okay, what's this team going to be like? I didn't expect them to do anything major here. And again, they may not get into the big dance, but they got a chance to win 20 games. I didn't think that was going to be the case for this team. They've had some ups and downs for sure, and outside of that Arizona State game, they were cooking. I mean, they won five in a row, and then they beat Arizona. They beat the number two team in the country, and they beat them soundly. 11,000 people in attendance there checking this one out. You got basketball rocking in this area, folks. And this is a Buffs team. It's like I said, they're going to be they'll be dancing next year. They got to win the. I'm guessing Mark told us yesterday he thinks they need to get to the Pac-12 championship. Right? Would that be enough for them to punch the ticket? I think so. Given the Arizona win, that's what that win will do for you. Being able to beat them. I mean, hell, let's not forget they were close with USC. They only lost by 3 to another team in the top 25. Top 10. Are they top 15 now? They hung in there against UCLA. So this Buffs team might sneak in, man. They might. If they can have a decent show, you got to get the Utah win, get the Utah game, and then have a decent showing in the Pac-12 tournament. 46 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. We are switching gears at 1 o'clock. The one and only David Roddy. We got the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza starting up at 1 o'clock. Do want to shout out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Live well. Plan ahead. That's their number is 970-330-6824. That's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. All right, we'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the hour, talk more about the Nuggets, some interesting news about Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray. We'll digest that coming up next.
With a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man, Brady Hall, and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.12:51 the time. Welcome back. It's the Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. No Limit Collectibles is where you can buy, sell, trade your sports memorabilia, sports cards. They even have Pokemon. I know that's kind of the craze. Jade's is a resident, you're a diehard baseball card collector. So I know you know from experience that No Limit Collectibles is the place to go. And now they're in Greeley. They're right by our good friends at Cables. Check them out. You know, for that sports fan in your life, you get the sports cave you want to decorate, or your office, your room, whatever. Man, No Limit Collectibles, that's the place to go. And Ken Yamada, the owner, family-owned and operated, too. I love that family. Ken goes all over the place. He goes to shows all the time so that he can get the right stuff for you guys. Remember, I think the United Way thing we did last year or 2 years ago, we gave away a signed Von Miller Super Bowl helmet. Like, that's some of the cool stuff that they have. That's No Limit Collectibles. There's no limit to what you can collect. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. The Nuggets, we talked about this yesterday, that they were going to send Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray to Grand Rapids for the time being. They were going to send those guys to play on their G League team to practice with the Gold and maybe in a scrimmage. The Nuggets have scrapped plans. Now, according to the Denver Post's Mike Singer, the Nuggets have scrapped plans to send MPJ and Jamal Murray to Grand Rapids. Two league sources told the Post on Thursday. Now, here's what we're hearing, at least, because I hear that and I'm thinking, uh-oh, is there a setback? Or is it the opposite? They're so ready to go that they don't need to go play for the practice or scrimmage with the Grand Rapids. Here's the report. Both Porter and Murray were set to fly to Grand Rapids and practice with the Gold on Friday, but logistical concerns, in addition to the fact that they'd only be there for one practice, altered the plan, sources said. Neither player has had any kind of setback, and there was also a sense that some of the work they would have done in Grand Rapids could just get done in Denver. There is a possibility that they still practice or scrimmage with the Gold in the future as they both continue to rehab. They're not regressing, though. I think that's the key thing from this report. It's not a setback. I think MPJ is going to be playing this month. Jamal Murray, I'm a little concerned about. We had our Nuggets insider Chris Dempsey on the show, and keep in mind, I mean, he works for Altitude. You know, he hears stuff that we certainly don't hear. And he's saying, I'm not so sure about Jamal Murray making a comeback even this season. So, don't get me wrong. If you can get Porter from where he was last year in the regular season, you might still be able to make a push in the playoffs. It's going to be more difficult. Cannot have duds like you did against the Thunder last night. But that's the big question I have for Michael Porter Jr. He was playing great last year. I think he was close to averaging 20 points a game. Then they get into the playoffs and he disappeared. They were doubling him. They were figuring him out. Don't you feel like the Joker has gotten better since last year? I would like to see Porter, a polished version of Porter, with this better version of Joker. I feel like Joker's passing has gotten even better in this last season. And if you can spread the floor out, getting your three-point shooter back on the floor, my goodness. I'd be curious to how the roster, how the depth chart ends up working out. Because there's going to be some guys that move down the list and don't play at all. I mean, Bones Highland has gotten a lot of playing time. Is that going to change? Bryn Forbes, is that going to change? I mean, guys like Austin Rivers, Facu Campazzo, like those minutes are just going to deteriorate for the most part. But I mean, you get MPJ back, you're probably starting him, aren't you? I mean, you gotta. What does that starting lineup look like for Denver? If Michael Porter Jr. is back, he might not be starting for the first five games or so, but once they get into the playoffs, he'll move into that starting role, and rightfully so. But who's moving? Who's coming off? I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about Will Barton maybe coming off the bench. I always thought that was where Will Barton was best, was coming off of the bench. You got Jeff Green starting for you on a, you know, depends on the day. So it's Morris, Joker, Gordon, Barton, and Green. So, I mean, do you keep Barton in at the three or at the two, excuse me? Or do you put Porter there? Or do you start Porter over Jeff Green? Probably over Jeff Green. They love Will Barton. I don't know. I still think he would be better coming off of the bench. Dixon, hopefully Barton's minutes go down. Yeah, that's the thing. I wouldn't mind staying with a Jeff Green out there to start for Denver when Porter is back. And then you just bring Barton off of the bench, man. He's, for the most part, he just hasn't been it. He had a beautiful game a couple of nights ago, but he's averaging 15 points per game. It's not atrocious. But you need to see better games from him. I mean, against Sacramento, he had 31 points on February 24th. 13 points against Sacramento again, then three, then six. He's just not there. So why not maybe bring him off the bench? I know he doesn't think he's a reserve. He thinks he's a starter. Barton is, I think when Porter comes back, that's what should happen. Because I think Jeff Green's been surprisingly pretty good this year. And again, they talk about this on the broadcast all the time. Why does Jeff Green never seem to sit still? Why? He's been on like 11 different teams. Wouldn't mind seeing him back with the Nuggets next year. All right, second hour coming up. We got the David Roddy Show. Fire up those questions for David. That's coming up next. We'll be right back.